Morning, you there. Thank you for the hand clapping, but I prefer that you don't hand clap. I prefer you throw money up on the stage. Okay. Thank you. Well, great to see you all this morning. It's great to be here in the house of God. Thank you to Pastor Yunami and Pastor Stephen for giving me the honor and the privilege to share today and many other times throughout the year as well. I really do enjoy it. So this morning, see, this year's come. It's nearly gone. What do you think? Had a good year? Can you see me under that tree? You can now. It's great singing about Mary, what she accomplished, about what she did. Who knows that in the NFL football? Who likes NFL football? Please, everybody, put your hand up. Tell me you're going to get into it. Okay. There's the throw that they do. The quarterback does this throw, and it's called a Hail Mary. Have you heard of that? It's a Hail Mary. So in 1975, this guy, his name was, I know it was Richard Braxton, and he played for the Navy Academy, and they were down. It was coming close to the end of the game. They were down. They were losing. And he just had one shot at it, and he thought, I'm just going to throw this way down. They call it the end zone, where you score the point, and your team who's on attack, you have to run down, you race down, you try and trick the other offensive players. You get into the end zone and you take the catch and you score. And, man, there's been some exciting games in the NFL. And it's called the Hail Mary. So Hail Mary. Who's heard of Hail Mary? You know, Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, lots of the Catholics. I used to be a Catholic and you pray to Mary. I used to do some of that. But this same guy got transferred into the league, the big league, and he played for the Dallas Cowboys. And it was a big game, 3 points down, and same chap threw the ball, and it was a Hail Mary. The guy caught it, and they won the game. It was fantastic. You know, they come back, they have a kick, and they win by 2 points. So Mary, out of Scripture, she's involved in the NFL football. How cool is that? I think that's amazing. All right, we're going to have a look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 56. But do you ever read something in Scripture? You read stuff and you kind of get a bit of humor out of it? Well, we're not going to go, can we just hold off on that just now? In the Scriptures before, there's talks about the birth of John the Baptist. Can I just read this to you? While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. This is the angel. And the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." They've been trying to have a child and they couldn't have a child and they were quite old. "Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness," of course, "and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks." Well, I failed there. "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit of the power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah says to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel says to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. So, Gabriel, the angel, I mean, what made him think to say, I'm going to stop you from speaking? That's it. I thought, wow, it's a bit of power. If I was the angel, you know what I would have done? I would have gone, okay, Zachariah, because you haven't believed, you've doubted. No coffee for you for 12 months. That's it. This is my humorous part of me when I sometimes read scripture. I pick on these things and go, wow, he could have said many things, but that's what he said. Okay, let's get to here. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." I'll just let me stop there for a sec. His kingdom will never end. You know how we sang that song and Caroline read that scripture? "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Now, the governments of this world fail miserably. Sometimes we vote in a new government, we think, oh, this is going to be, it's going to be better, it's going to be okay. They make all these promises, they say this, they say that. We think, oh, it's going to be okay. But can I tell you, I've been dismally disappointed over and over again. But let me say that the kingdom of God is coming. It is here. Jesus is the kingdom of God, and one day he will come and establish a new heaven and a new earth. He will establish this, and we will have the best government of all time, because the government will be upon the shoulders of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6 months, for the word," next one, "of God would never fail. For the word of God would never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should be here with me?" So it says. That's next one. Is that it? Okay. So we have Mary, a young woman, no older than the age of 16. No older. She could have been 14, she could have been 15, the age of 16. She is engaged to Joseph. She's probably at that time when this is all going on, when the angel comes, those previous days and the days after that, she had plans. She's going, oh, I need to get a wedding dress. So she's with her mother going to different places looking for a wedding dress. She's organizing caterers for her wedding. She's getting all these things ready and prepared for her special and most momentous day. And then she gets the angel come to her. God comes and God speaks to her. What pressure do you think she was under? What was her response? In verse 37, after all these things have been said, she says, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And as I was contemplating on this, I'm thinking about all of us here this morning. What dreams do you have in your heart? What is something that God has promised you and has said to you? And you're still waiting for. You're still hoping. Maybe this morning you're discouraged. Maybe this morning you're just, well, I'm not really expecting anything. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, my God is able to do abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that is within you. So you have, for those of you that have received Christ, you have the power of God within you. Is that power? Are we activating that power? Are we using that power? Are we using faith to ask God and to believe for things in our lives? God says, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. Now, I'm not talking about praying for a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. We're not talking about that stuff, okay? When you've got a few million, yeah, sure, pray for that. So ask and you shall receive. So this morning I want to encourage you. I want to stir you this morning. I want to stir your faith, and I want you to get up and to stir yourself up in faith to believe God for things. Maybe you're single today and you want to get married. Maybe you're married and you want a child and it's been difficult to conceive. Come on. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Maybe you have some broken relationships. God can restore them. It's not impossible for God to restore broken relationships. Nothing is impossible to God. Maybe you want a home. Maybe it's a home. Everybody needs a home, and you're looking at the market and you think, wow, this is a tough gig. Well, begin to stir your heart. Talk to someone about money management, how to steward your finances, and work towards those goals. But mix faith in that. You've got to mix faith. Mix faith with what you're desiring and what you're planning. What about stirring your faith for the church that you belong to, for the different ministry arms in your church? We have a youth ministry here. We have young adults. We have a music team here. We need more musicians. Let's begin to stir our faith for more musicians. We have one drummer. It's only one drummer we have, isn't it? We have one drummer. Lord, bless him and bless his father. They're off to China on a business trip. Is Chenyu gone as well? Fantastic. How good is that? Good father and son time. But where's the drummer this morning? Where is he? Where's the second drummer? Where's the third drummer? Come on. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I've played drums for many years. Don't tell me you're not good enough. Everyone says that. So, well, I'm not that good. Well, come and talk to Caroline. Come to practice and let's see how good you are. If you can't sing, I'll tell you. If you've got a terrible voice, I'll tell you. Caroline, you call me and I'll do the... So maybe you want to quit smoking. Come on, mix that with faith and ask God. You know, Jesus says that when Jesus was older, he was in the temple. And he said, like, can we look at Luke chapter 4, verse 17 and 18? For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. No, that's not the one. Verse 18, sorry. Can we go to 18? Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to those that are blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. How many have had a broken heart? Many of us. I know Christmas for many people is going to be really difficult. Some of them will not have their loved ones with them. I was talking to a lady the other day and she said to me, whenever Christmas comes around, just December, the beginning of December, she starts to get traumatized. She can't wait for it to be over. So I began to ask a little bit more. What? How come? Because when she was two or three, her mother passed away. And her father went away to work. And she was put in the local orphanage. And every Christmas and every Easter, her family would come. Families would come and take their children home for that weekend. But not her. I said, well, not you. Well, I was the only one. It was me and the nuns. Till she was 18. So the broken, you know, that's hard, isn't it? That is really hard. But you know, there's hope for everybody. However you're seated this morning, whatever's going on in your life, I want you to know that there's hope, that Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. Many of you are sitting in grief this morning and in pain. Last week I sat with a lady on the phone in my car for 45 minutes. I had 2 weeks previously or a month previously, I had done her son's funeral. The grief, the pain. I don't have an answer. But I know Jesus, the God of all comfort. And every time I met with her, every time I spoke to her, I said, are you comfortable if I pray for you? And she was always yes. And her grandfather came and seen me the other day and he said, thank you. Thank you for calling her. He goes, that was... Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Just listen, acknowledge. So either Jesus is either telling the truth or he's not. Does he really heal the brokenhearted? Well, I actually know he does. Because he's healed me of many things emotionally and scars. And torments. He has set me free from many torments, from many entanglements from the mind. I remember being in the service many years ago and just worshiping the Lord, worshiping God. And I just sensed something that was negative. Probably things I'd have been involved in the past just went kabam, just left. And I knew that was a day that one part of me, you know, had deliverance from something that was very dark. See, when you keep your eyes and you're following Jesus and you're worshiping God, and the light shines his light on darkness, these things have to go. You've got to want them to go. And that's why it's important to surrender our lives to Christ so that he can do his work in our lives. Emmanuel, in Isaiah chapter 4, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. This is in the Old Testament. This is before Jesus has come, before his birth. There are many scriptures of prophecy being foretold about the Son of God coming. And this is one of them. What is so amazing about this, not just that he is with us, he was here 2,025 years ago, but he's with you today. He's with you. For those that received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and his power rests in you. He comes to live inside of us. You know, there's everything in the Bible, in Peter it says that he has given everything for us to have a successful believer's life. Everything in there. You want success? You want to do well as a believer? You want to help change the world? You want to help yourself, you want to develop yourself, it's all in Scripture. It's all in the Scripture. Everything God has put in Scripture for us to be his children and how to live and how to shape our lives after him. You know, I am so loved. I am so loved by God. It is so beautiful to be so loved by him. Can you say that about yourself? Can you say, I am so loved? I am so loved. Say that. I am so loved. I am so loved by him. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did I miss out a word in that? Did I miss out on a word? I did. I said, for God loved the world so much. What did I miss out? So is an adverb. It gives it a turbocharge, the scripture. When I was dating my wife, she was my girlfriend back then. When you say, I so love you, that's just something more special. Instead of going, I love you, but I so love you. It's just deeper. It's just, you know. So I was going on a holiday for a couple of weeks, and I'm heading over east, catching the train with my friend Andrew. And so she came to say goodbye to me at the train station. And so, you know, you say your goodbyes, you do your hugs and your kisses, and you know, and you're in the train and you know you're waving, and you just see her as you're heading off in the distance. I just see her, and man, you know, she was just, and she still is today, the woman of my. I just love her. I just so love her, so much, and I just remember just. Then as I think before I even got to Melbourne, I wrote a letter. Then I'd do a card. We didn't have mobile phones. There's no SMS in. Do you know what writing a letter is? It's an A4 page with these lines across. You get a pen, do a big love heart. Sorry, I don't mean to embarrass you. You do a big love heart, I love you, and you know, all that. I think sometimes we need to be reflective and just look down to the passage of time, looking down and looking at Jesus Christ, who so loves us, and look at him. The passage of time and the day when he died upon the cross, the blood that was shed, the blood that fell into the streets and put upon the cross. And 3 days later, coming back from the dead. He so loves you. He so loves you. And he wants you to experience and know his love. He wants you to experience and know his love. He wants you to know that you can say, I am so loved. I am so loved. He so loves you. Close your eyes. Let's close our eyes. Emmanuel, God with us. He's with you right now. Just let him touch you this morning as you have your eyes closed. And just look. Says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you taste, you just can't help it, you want more. I've got this little gift in my hand that was given to my wife. I'm a friend. And I looked in it. I says, oh, honey, can I have some? That was these delicious raspberry chocolate. Come all the way from the UK. Milk chocolate raspberries from Harrods. I've been to Harrods and I've eaten their chocolate before. I thought, oh. So my wife teased me a bit. And she said, okay, you can open them. But it's so good. Because when you taste them, you can't help but want more. But also, you begin to taste and you begin to experience when you taste of our God, when you taste of Jesus Christ, when you receive his forgiveness, for the guilt or for the shame or whatever things we've carried all our lives, the freedom that comes with that is amazing. It is remarkable. And His love comes and touches you. I used to have the knowledge of God, but I never knew Him personally. Religion will give you the knowledge of God. If you do this, you do that, you know. You score brownie points. We don't score brownie points with God. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do, actually, in your own merit to receive God's love and His forgiveness. There's nothing you can do. We're all damned. But Jesus came. Hey, I'm going to undam you. He paid the price for my sin. He paid it in full. I do not have to prove anything. Pass away. I used to go to church every Sunday. Well, that doesn't mean a thing. It's, have you believed and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you following Jesus Christ? If you've never tasted, I'm going to ask you this morning to receive the gift. You can be given a gift. And it sits there. But if you don't open it, you don't try it, you don't taste it, you'll never know. God's love. You are so loved. You are so loved. This week, please use this scripture in your reflection time. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Asta. For God so loved Stephen. For God so loved me. Put your name in there. And contemplate and reflect on that. Because God wants you to experience His peace, His love, and His wholeness. It's going to give people an opportunity now to put your trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Just mean this from your heart. Ask the church to come involved in this prayer as well. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. Thank you that I am so loved. Thank you that I am so forgiven. Thank you that I am so yours. Come into my heart right now, Lord Jesus. Forgive me my sin. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up. Okay, can we just sing quietly?